Okay, this Shabbos, we have a very busy Shabbos. We have Parshios Vayakel and Pekudei. We read Parshas HaChodesh, and of course it's also Shabbos Mevorchim for Chodesh Nisan, so we talk about the upcoming Yantav of Pesach. So, we will touch on a few things. We're going to talk about the concept of Rosh Chodesh, which we spoke about last week, but now from a different angle, and the concept of the Kruvim, which we're going to find in our Parshios. And based on the fact that Yantav is coming up, we're going to do a little analysis of the Kedushas Hayom Bracha that ends with Baruchat Hashem Mekadesh, if it's Shabbos, HaShabbos, V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, or if it's not Shabbos, Mekadesh, V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. We're going to talk about that. And hopefully, so we'll touch a lot of bases and all relevant to the time that we're in. Our main objective today is to define, as we often do, some basic, simple words that we work with all the time. We've worked with words like ze, zos, oz, anochi, right? Things like that. Today we're going to work with two words that are appropriate for the Yom Tovim, zman and moed. Okay, zman and moed. They, of course, are they show up in any discussion of Yom Tovim. We're also going to talk about the relationship of Shabbos to Zmanim and Moadim and where Shabbos fits in, its unique position vis-a-vis Moed and Zman. And we're going to talk about when we talk about Moed, we're going to talk about what the Ohel Moed is as opposed to what a Moed is, or the similarity. And when we talk about the Kruvim, we're going to talk about where we find the Kruvim. They appear three times in Chumash, and their association with Shabbos again also, Shabbos and Moedim, Shabbos and the Kruvim. And so we'll touch on a lot of points. The introductory ideas that you're going to hear about Zman and Moed are really from Rav Moshe Shapiro, and the Kruvim ideas from Rav Hirsch. They somehow, though, fit together. Okay, so here is how we're going to start. Parshas HaChodesh, which we read this Shabbos, in that it's Mevarchim, Shabbos Mevarchim, Rosh Chodesh is coming up, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we all know that right before all the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, which were of course the mitzvahs of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe in Parshas Bo that the first mitzvah of all the mitzvahs is to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. We all know this, right? You've heard this too many times. That the mitzvah that introduces the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Geula is Rosh Chodesh. And you know the Rashi, right in the beginning of the Torah, the very beginning, and here again it always comes up, that since this is the first mitzvah of the Torah, why didn't the Torah just start with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, start with this mitzvah of being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh? So if the Torah was, if we expected the Torah to start with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month is Rosh Chodesh, how to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh, and that would be, theoretically, if not for other purposes, the beginning of the Torah, except somehow the Torah had to establish Hashem's Bria of the world, and the whole story of Gan Eden had to show up first, and we're going to get back to that. The Gan Eden, what was Gan Eden, the banishment from Eden, all of that, that somehow had to take precedence. But according to, if Torah is just a mitzvah book, and a book of guidance for what to do, according to Chazal, it should have started with this mitzvah. So now our question is, if this would be the very first mitzvah of the Torah that assumes that it's highly significant, being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh must take precedence on everything, if we would assume that it should really be the whole, the introduction to all of Jewish obligation would be Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh, and we see that being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh is so significant that it's Docha Shabbos. You can push off Shabbos, you can transgress many severe halachas of Shabbos in order to come to the Beis HaMikdash and announce that if one person saw the moon, or two people rather saw the moon. Now, let's go into the halachas of the witnesses that had to come to the Beis HaMikdash and testify about the seeing of the moon and realize how almost irrelevant they were, and yet you could be Docha Shabbos for them, for their purpose, for their job. First of all, Rosh Chodesh always has to basically fall out on one or two days, the 30th or the 31st of the month. Okay? If the Edim don't come on the 30th, so it's automatically the 31st. So all of this hullabaloo with the Edim, which we're going to see, is to establish it on the 30th as opposed to the 31st. Okay? For that, they can break Shabbos. For that, all kinds of chamor halachos can be, you know, done away with. Just to make sure, just to establish it on one day earlier, or, you know, inevitably it would never go a day later. Now, the reason that Rosh Chodesh is always 30 is always that a month, that Rosh Chodesh is always the 30th or the 31st day is the following. Every lunar month is never longer than 30 days. The cycle of the moon is exactly the following. 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 parts of 1,080 parts of an hour. Okay? That's how it works. You know about the halakim, they always say? So, la halacha, and this has been done in scientific experiments, and we preceded the scientific knowledge by thousands of years. These numbers are accurate to this day with the most complex computers. The hours divided up into 1,080 parts and 793 halakim, that is the cycle of the moon. So it's 29 and a half days. Okay, you don't make Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day. So Rosh Chodesh is either the 30th day. If the Edim don't come, it's automatically the 31st day. There's no other option. Nevertheless, for this, the Edim, the Chazal, Gemara and Rosh Hashanah tells us that because any human being, any Jew who could see the moon on the 30th day in its new, you know, shape, is not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, and doesn't know whether others have seen it, or whether others are going to come and testify. Therefore, anyone who sees it must go to the Beis Din and testify, even if it entails desecrating Shabbos. He may walk beyond the Tchum and transgress more severe prohibitions, even those normally bearing Chayav Misa penalty, death penalty, just because he doesn't know if someone else will come. Okay. So obviously, Rosh Chodesh is very, very important. So let's talk about Rosh Chodesh for a minute and realize why it would merit to be the first, and what's the absolute significance of it. So what is the point of being Mekadesh L'Chodesh? There's a reason you're Mekadesh L'Chodesh, because based on when you're Mekadesh L'Chodesh, that's when the Moed falls out that month. And you know that big story in the Gemara, the Machlokas, about when Yom Kippur was. We're not going to go there, and whether it's one day or the next day. So it makes a huge difference in terms of the Moedim. It's the source of establishing the Moedim. Establishing being Mekadesh L'Chodesh is for the purpose of determining when the Moed is during that month. So really, when we talk about the mitzvah of being Mekadesh L'Chodesh, we're talking about the mitzvah of establishing the time of the Moed. Now, when we talk about establishing the time of the Moed, which is the real mitzvah, the Yantiv, that falls in that month, is called the Moed. Eila Moedei Hashem, we say this in Kiddush. These are the Moedim. Now, let's define the word Moed. Because when we make the bracha in Shmona Esrei on the Kiddushas Hayom bracha of the Shalosh Regalim, which are the Moedim, okay? So the bracha, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the bracha ends, as you well know, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh, HaShabbos, if it's Shabbos, V'Yisrael. And what's the next word? Not ha-moadim, v'hazmanim, or whatever zman it is, v'yom hazikaron, and hazmanim. Okay, in the moadim, but certainly the shalosh regalim, it ends with mimakadish ha-shabbos, v'yisrael, v'hazmanim, not ha-moadim. So obviously from that bracha you see that what we're saying, what we're blessing Hashem for, is that Hashem is Mekadesh, it seems, three things: Shabbos, Yisrael, and the Moedim. But we don't call it the Moedim, we call it the Zmanim. So immediately we're saying that we see from Kiddush HaChodesh, which it determines when the Moed is going to be, that really we, in a sense, are part of the process of being Mekadesh that Moed by determining what Zman it is. So this is really focusing on the Kedusha that Klal Yisrael has, which it can bestow upon a particular day and make that day the Moed. Because we're Mekadesh L'Chodesh, that means we decide which day is the Moed and not the next day or not the previous day. So this bracha is really about the power of Klal Yisrael to bestow upon the Moed its sanctity. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already establishes that these days are sanctified, but we choose, in a sense, which day it is. Now, this helps us understand the problem here. There is a halachic problem. A bracha can only relate to one thing. You can't have two different praises that end the bracha. You can't thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu in one bracha for two totally different, you know, gifts or in this case, two totally different sources or forms of Kedusha. So you have a problem. Mekadesh, you have three really, HaShabbos, VeYisrael, VeHazmanim. That's a problem. So Chazal say here, no, that's not how you read it. Your Mekadesh, we'll start with the middle, Yisrael, and their Mekadesh, the Zmanim. So it's really that your HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekadesh Klal Yisrael. He sanctifies Klal Yisrael. And we extend that Kedusha by establishing, by doing Kiddush HaChodesh, which then establishes when the Moed is. So we, in a sense, bestow upon that day, which is already special in Hashem's eyes, but we grant it its special Kedusha on that particular day. So Chazal are seeing that this is about Klal Yisrael's ability to bestow Kedusha on a particular day. Now, there's Shabbos in there also. So here's really how it goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies Shabbos. Because a bracha can only end with one praise. So Hashem sanctifies Shabbos. Klal Yisrael draw their ability to be Mekadesh other things from our keeping Shabbos. When we keep Shabbos, we then access the Kedusha inherent in Shabbos, and then we can extend the Kedusha and sanctify through Kiddush HaChodesh the eventual Moed of that month. So that's how the bracha is read. Now that means that what we have to talk about is the sanctification of Shabbos, which we draw upon, which leads us to the ability to sanctify the Moedim. But in order to get to Shabbos, we have to start somewhere else. We have to define the word Zman and Moed, because the bracha says, Mekadesh HaShabbos, VeYisrael, VeHazmanim. So we draw from Shabbos, we are invested with Kedusha, and then we sanctify time, which leads to a Moed. So what is the difference between a Zman and a Moed? Well, Zman, we know, is in general time. The word Zman, unlike in other languages, is laden with meaning. It's related to the Shoresh, which is the same as Hazmana.
Invitation?
Zimun. What's Hazmana? Lahazmin. Lahazmin is to invite, but also the core of the word, to prepare. To prepare. Lahazmin is to prepare. The concept of Zman, right, is to prepare. It's a process. It's preparing for something in the future. We view all time, starting with the first word in the Torah, Bereshis. Bereshis means in the beginning of. You all know that. It's like a possessive word. Rashi says it should say Bereshit Briata Olam, in the beginning of the creation of the world. It's in the beginning of. That first word establishes chronology. There's a time process. There's a sequential process. In the beginning, first, second, third, time begins with the word Bereshis, in the beginning of. Hashem creates the concept of time. But for us, time is we view time in terms of the opportunity it gives us to prepare for some future goal, for a destiny. Every minute of time is a minute to be used, to be invested with purpose, in that it's being at this second part of a process leading to a goal. So this second it has meaning. This second it's accomplishing something. Time is wrapped up with the concept of purpose, of the process to the goal. What is the word moed? You know, whenever you're on the plane and it says in Hebrew, distance to destination or time to destination? Ya'ad is a destination. Moed comes from the word destination. No question about it. Moed means destination. Destination. Elam moedei Hashem. These are destinations. Now we know the destinations. Pesach is Kabbalah Satorah. Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Shavuos is Kabbalah Satorah, and Sukkos is Tshuva and reunion, etc., post Yom Kippur. These are destinations that we are meant to work our way back to those madrigas, to achieve, to experience once again on these moedim a touch of what we experienced originally. Those original experiences of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos were like flashes of light for us in our infancy as a nation, And then we would go along the long journey, eventually gaining those madrigas through our own hard work as a process of our historical development as a nation. We would get to a place where there would be again, as we say in Kedusha, right, Hu Yashmienu Shenis, so let us hear again the Dibros, that's what we mean. Again there'll be a Kabbalah Satorah and total Gilo Shechina, again a reunion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sukkos David HaNofeles. These were glimpses of the destination that we are working towards. So Zman is our investing each minute with purpose, in that it's leading to the Moed of the future, eventually. The Moedim now, which give us strength once more, but eventually the Moedim of the future, these same experiences in the future. So Zman is Klal Yisrael's really, the oars that we're rowing with along the current of time. When we are in time, we're not being carried along by time. We are investing time with meaning, giving this time that we're in now sanctity, designating it as part of the process that leads to the future. So here and now, it already has sanctity and it's already designated. And therefore we say, Mekadesh Yisrael Vehazmanim. We're starting backwards. We are able to be Mekadesh this Zman right now that's leading to the Moed. In other words, the process bears the taste of the goal already. La halacha, according to some opinions, if you designate something, like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, for a korban, a particular animal, so then it's kadosh from that second on, even before it's a korban. Even now, he brings down, according to some, if you designate a bag as a tefillin bag, it already has sanctity. Okay? So even before it's used for the goal, for the purpose, the moment it's designated, from Milashon Hazmana, it's prepared for it. It has the Kedusha of the end result. And has to be treated with the Kedusha of the end result. So what we're saying is that by investing the process, the journey, with the sanctity of the end, with the importance of the end, then every step along the journey becomes part of the end and significant in and of itself. My grandfather points out that in most things in life, probably in everything in life, if you're searching for something, working towards something, so working towards that thing is the labor we do. Could be tedious, could be boring, could be, you know, something we have to endure, and finally we reach our goal. But when we call a human being or people mivakshe Hashem, they're searching for Hashem, they're in the process of searching for closest Hashem. So that process, that status of being a Mivakesh Hashem, that itself has a taste of satisfaction of the end result of actually finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that a person knows that they're searching for Hashem fills a person with great joy and satisfaction. You know how this feels when a person has a very good tefillah. They feel like they really davened well, or they feel strong in a certain way in their avodas Hashem, or they feel motivated. They're happy for the fact that they're a Mivakesh Hashem, that they're at least a person who cares and who's searching. That has a taste of the end result. So the Zman gives us right here and right now a taste of the Moed, if we invest it with time. Now that goes back to Klal Yisrael, which goes back to Shabbos, right? Now we go back to Shabbos, which we draw that ability from. In Parshas Emor, where it introduces the Moedim, Gav HaChomesh, it's that will be there in a second. Where is Emor? Here it is, Perek Chaf Gimel. Here's how Chaf Gimel opens. Ve'idaber Shem Moshe Leimar, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'yamarta Lehem Moedei Hashem. Asher tikru osam mikroi kodesh elahe moadai. What are the next words? These are the moadim that you should call kadosh. They're sanctified. These are my moadim. What are the next words? Sheishis yamim tase malacha. Shabbos. Shabbos is the source of the kedusha of the moadim through Klal Yisrael. Let's say it this way. Shabbos is the source of the kedusha that we draw upon, which lets us invest our time now with meaning, although that time is leading to the Moed, which has its own Kedusha, we, in a sense, are the ones that are able to access the Kedusha by investing it with our own Kedusha, and also with our establishing the process as being part of the eventual taste of the Moed. So here you see Shabbos. Shabbos is the head. It is the leader. It is the source of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, Zman, and eventually the Moed of that month. So now that we're talking about Shabbos, we have to talk about Shabbos and its association with the prohibitions of Shabbos, which are drawn directly from the Malacha in the Mishkan, correct? Now, what is another name for the Mishkan? The Ohel Moed. Now we're talking about Moed again. So what does that mean? It's the tent of our destination, obviously. Now we know the famous Ramban, and we've spoken about this, that the reason we are commanded to build a Mishkan, even without an Egel, the Egel added certain elements to the Avodah, to the service on the Mishkan, like bringing a Karban Chatas and all of those things. But even without the Egel, we were commanded, Ramban says, to have a Mishkan, an Ohel Moed, a tent, not of meeting, a tent of our destination. Because what the purpose of the Mishkan was to retain right here, down here, on this earth, in the center of Klal Yisrael, a place where the experience of the Har Sinai and the Gilui Shechina could be, you know, kind of recreated and re-experienced and to continue to exist here in Klal Yisrael, a place of the Hasharas HaShechina, a place where Kadosh Baruch Hu would still speak to us. That was the Ohel Moed, the place of our destination. And just like we said, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos, Sukkos, these were glimpses in the beginning of our history at what we would arrive at the end through our own hard work, not just because it was granted as a free gift. So too, the Mishkan was a place where that experience of the Gilui Shechina, which was our, in the end, is our destiny, to live like that, with that kind of clarity, was retained in Klal Yisrael, was established in Klal Yisrael, and the person could go there and regroup, you know, be revitalized by the Avodah and seeing the Nisim there. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke and continued to speak to Klal Yisrael from, the Ohel Moed, the tent of our destination. Now, the whole reason they built the Ohel Moed was for which Keli? Obviously, the Aron. The Aron is where Hashem, through the Kruvim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael from, somehow between the Kruvim. Okay? Now, what was in the Aron? The broken Luchos, the whole Luchos, and what else? The other thing that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a Sefer Torah. So the Aron is called the Aron HaEdus. It's basically the Aron that holds the Torah. So now let's put it all together. The Ohel Moed, the tent of our destination, preserving for us the experience of Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would continue to talk. The whole purpose of the Ohel Moed is the Torah, is the Luchos, Hashem's communication with us. Shabbos is clearly like the Ohel Moed, a Me'ein Olam Haba. Both were little islands in this world of perfection from the next world. Ohel Moed, little Har Sinai, little Gilui Shechina, right here. Shabbos, of course, is also Me'ein Olam Haba. It's also a glimpse or a taste of Olam Haba, but in a different way. You know that Shabbos is associated with the Mishkan, that Meleches HaMishkan is Docha Shabbos, right? In other words, it's not Docha Shabbos, I'm sorry. Meleches HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos. They had to stop working on building the Mishkan when Shabbos came. But Avodas HaMishkan, the Avodah in the Mishkan, is Docha Shabbos because it's the same as Shabbos. The Mishkan and the Avodah that took place inside it, the lighting the menorah and all of a sudden whatever, the Ketores, all the regular Avodah, was Docha Shabbos because it was a little Shabbos. It's a Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a place of Hasharas HaShechina, where the Shechina dwells. So a Shabbos, one for the other. Building the Mishkan was not Docha Shabbos. They had to stop. That's why we stop on Shabbos from the things that were necessary for building the Mishkan. Okay? So Shabbos and the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed and Shabbos, which is the source of all the Moedim, are clearly associated with each other. Now, let's go to the next step, and it'll all come together. If the Beis HaMikdash was built for the Aron, and the Aron is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us from, between the Kruvim, let's talk about the Kruvim for a minute. The Kruvim appear three times in the Torah. Okay? So quickly, let's flip. Perek Lamed Zayin in our parsha, Vayakel, but in Vayakel. Perek Lamed Zayin, Psukim Zayin, Ches, and Tes. That is on page 524. Vayas Shnei Kruvim Zahav. You have to make two cherubs of gold. Miksha hammered out. Asa Osam, he made them. Mishnei Ketzos HaKapores, from the two ends of the cover. Kruv Echad Miktzad Mizeh, Kruv Echad Mikatzad Mizeh, Min HaKapores, Asa Sakruvim, Mishnei Ketzosav. So here you have the Kruvim on two ends. Okay, and they would spread their wings, sheltering the cover with their wings, their faces towards one another. Towards the cover were the faces of the Kruvim. So we know these are the Kruvim on the Aron, which we're most familiar with. Okay. Now turn back a little bit to Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed He, which is on page 522. They made the Parochas. Okay? They made the Parochas, the partition. The partition of all kinds of wool, turquoise, purple, scarlet wool, and linen, twisted. And on it was a design of Kruvim, woven in. The parochas between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh also had Kruvim. They were woven into the fabric of the curtain itself. Now, where else were the Kruvim? You must know this. That's right. Huh? That's right. There were Kruvim positioned outside Gan Eden. Go to Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Okay, the last pasuk in the part in the Perek, the Garish Osa Esa Adam, and he banished Adam from Gan Eden, by Yashkin Mikedem, and he dwelled east. Remember we've spoken about that? Going east? We're not going to talk about it now. Vayashke Mikedem Lagan Eden. They dwelled east of Eden. Next, Esa Kruvim. Then there was Kruvim. And there was the ever-turning flaming sword. Lishmar Esterech Eitz HaChayim. Guarding the way to the Eitz HaChayim. So when you normally read this, you assume that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu banished them from Gan Eden, he wanted to make sure by putting the Kruvim there, and by putting some flaming, turning sword there, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to make sure? That they don't ever go back. Why shouldn't they go back? Because it says in the Pasuk, what's there? The Eitz HaChayim. And what would happen if they get back into Gan Eden? They'll partake of the Eitz HaChayim, and what will the Eitz HaChayim give them? Eternal life, and that's not acceptable now in this lowly state that they're in, the state they're in with where they're consumed by their Yetzirah, where they can't see clearly anymore. We've spoken a lot about the drop in status from before eating from the Eitz Hadas versus after. We're not going to go into that either. But the main idea of the Rambam is before they ate, they saw with Emes and Sheker truth, but now they were so confused by subjective values, Tov and Ra, that they couldn't be trusted anymore to always make the right decisions. They couldn't be trusted anymore to live eternally. Look what happened in the Dar of the Mabul, where they lived for so many years, and death wasn't looming in front of them as a threat, and how they sinned and how they fell, so eternal life, too dangerous, so they were banished. Never to return, Kruvim were guarding the Derech to the Eitz HaChayim. There's only one problem. So these Kruvim are keeping them away from the Eitz HaChayim, right? But inside the Aron, the Torah, what do we call the Torah and the Eidos? Eitz Chaim Hi. Are those Kruvim keeping us away from the Torah? Are they keeping us away from the Torah? Or are they the conduit to continue bringing the Torah to us because Hashem speaks from between the Kruvim? The secret is in, Rav Hirsch points out, in the word lishmor. Lishmor derech etz hachayim. Now we go back to Shabbos, which is a me'ein olam haba, a little Gan Eden, the Ol Moed in a different form. We're also told that Shabbos, we have a responsibility, what? Ushmartem es ha-Shabbos. Shomaris Yom HaShabbos L'kadsho. When we say Shomaris Yom HaShabbos, Ushmartem es ha-Shabbos, do we mean make sure you don't keep Shabbos? Like make sure, Shomar Derech Ga'etz HaChayim, to make sure to guard, to watch the way that nobody gets there to the Eitz HaChayim? What do we mean when we say Shamartem es HaShabbos, Ushomar es Yom HaShabbos L'kadsho? Preserve it so that it should not be violated. But how do we preserve Shabbos so it shouldn't be violated? By carefully refraining from all types of malacha. We preserve the sanctity of Shabbos. So Shamar es Yom HaShabbos means not don't keep Shabbos, don't get to Shabbos and utilize Shabbos. Make sure to preserve Shabbos so that it's always there to draw Kedusha from. Make sure not to taint it by violating it. Make sure not to desecrate it by violating it so that you can still gain from it. You can still use it. You can still get your Kedusha from it. Hold it, keep it protected so that you can make use of it. Not Chas V'Sholom, so that you can't access it. When we talk about preserving Lishmor Derech Eitz HaChayim, what we're saying is the following. Way back in the early days of our existence as humanity, there was a great challenge to human beings, and it was expressed last week, we talked about it in the moon and the sun. How much Bechira will human beings have if their moon, which was the source of the Shechina, would permeate this world and light up this world, we'd have no Bechira. Remember, so Hashem diminished the moon. Right? So in that mushal goes into so it finds itself in so many different expressions. It's the moon and the sun. There's also another expression of that mushal. On the third day, Hashem commanded the trees to sprout forth, right? And you know the Psukim in Bereshis? Hashem said that he commanded the trees and he said each tree should be eitz pri osepri, which means the tree is a fruit and it should make a fruit. But what happened? The trees didn't listen, so to speak. Just like the moon also, you know, had its complaints. Same concept, it's a very similar concept. Not exactly, but pretty similar. So the tree comes out, and how is it? It just says, it rebels. It's not going to be a fruit, it's just going to make a fruit. It's called Eitz Osepri. So that the taste of the tree itself is not the same taste as the fruit. It will produce a fruit, but it won't be the fruit. That was inside Gan Eden. It's the same idea, because what we're saying is, and now this goes back to Zman and Moed. Begin to connect it in your heads. If the tree is a fruit, and it bears a fruit, then what that means is the trunk, the bark, the branches, the flowers, all the things that lead to the fruit, to the end result, they themselves are the same as the fruit. What we're saying in other words is, the process is the same as the goal, as the destination. Right? Isn't that what we're saying? The process of bearing the fruit itself has the taste of the fruit and can be enjoyed as the fruit. It's not that there's a process and then there's a goal. The process itself is indistinguishable from the goal. It has the same sweet taste of the goal. And another way of saying that, which is a philosophical way, is there's so much Shechina in this world, there's so much truth in this world, that it's not that the goal is in the future, a final end point where the Shechina will be revealed. But right here, through every mitzvah, through every action, through every all our knowledge, we see the Shechina, and as we conduct ourselves in a way that has the taste of the end, of the truth, of what Har Sinai was all about. That the process and the end are the same. The process has the same taste as the end. In other words, too much Gilui Shechina here, which takes away our Bechira, doesn't let us have free choice, because as we live here, we live with the end at this moment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring out the world that way. The tree didn't have its own ability to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that is telling us is, Hashem said, the ideal is the tree should be a fruit and produce a fruit. But in reality, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be a tree with no taste at all. And then it's going to produce a fruit. That's the human being. Ki Adam eitz hasadeh. That's our situation. That's our predicament. We really don't taste normally the end result here in the process. Some mitzvahs are very hard, very, very challenging, or we even resist them, or we have a certain negative experience. You might even say they're hard mitzvahs to do. They make us feel less comfortable, not more. They bring up more challenges, not less, when we're confronted with an opportunity to either resist an avera or to do a mitzvah. They sometimes become like the bark itself, without any taste, like some of the chukim. Without any taste at all, like chewing on bark, some of them, right? That's our predicament, that's the reality. But we know that in the end, these mitzvahs that we do will bear the delicious fruit of the future. That's our situation. So what we have here is an idea that Klal Yisrael are faced with a challenge. Now we are given opportunities to make the process feel like the goal. That's the concept of zman, hazmana. Designating this moment as part of the process to the moed, to the destination. So Klal Yisrael, now we go back to the bracha, Mekadesh HaShabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Kadosh, to be Me'ein Olam Haba, to be a bubble in time, to be elevated, to be like a little Mishkan. It's equal to the Mishkan, as we said. Avodas HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos. Avodas HaMishkan is Docha Shabbos. It's in place of Shabbos. So Shabbos, if we experience it correctly, by making sure to restrain ourselves, not violate Shabbos. Now, how do we not violate Shabbos? There are 39 malachos. We've mentioned this before. Well, we all know, anyone who keeps Shabbos knows that there's not 39 forbidden things on Shabbos. It's more like 39 million forbidden things on Shabbos, okay? But there are three categories in the 39. If you think about it, the first, Choresh, Zoreya, Kotzer, what's that? It's about 10 or 11 things that have to do with food. That's a basic survival need. Then, what's the next one? Trapping an animal, hunting, trapping, skinning, tanning, dyeing, clothing. The next one, chopping down trees, building, hammering, shelter. Food, clothing, and shelter, there's only one, that's Yotzei Min HaKlal, we talk about it at a different time, that's Hotza'ah, carrying. That's a separate thing. Food, clothing, and shelter. That's our physical needs. Now, people will tell you, many scientists and philosophers and psychologists will tell you that man's strongest impulse is survival. We will kill for food, clothing, and shelter. Okay? We will kill for those things. That's our strongest impulse. But on Shabbos, we are supposed to make sure that we are not involved in pursuing those basic needs. They're all prepared already. They're all set aside. They're off our heads. And when they're off our heads, what can we focus on? Our neshama, our real, real survival impulse, which is the survival of our neshama. That's stronger than the survival of the body. Now, we spoke about this. We spoke about the concept that despite the fact that scientists or psychologists tell you that man's strongest impulse is the pursuit of the survival impulse, Freud tells you the pleasure principle is driving us, it's all not true. What drives a human being more than anything is the search for meaning, for purpose, because a person doesn't want to live and doesn't want to survive if they have no meaning. Survival is not more important than meaning. If people have no meaning, they will happily die. They will even kill themselves. So the pursuit of meaning is stronger than all other pursuits. So what happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Shabbos. Shabbos is in the beginning, sof maaseh b'machshava techila, we say in Lechadodi. Although Shabbos comes out last, it's the purpose of it all. It's the purpose. Elam Moadeh, these are my destination points. Shabbos comes first. Shabbos is the meaning. It's the purpose. It makes everything else worthwhile. And it gives us a glimpse of Me'ein Olam Haba if we keep it properly and we do not violate it. We preserve it. Shomartem es HaShabbos. We make sure to preserve that we don't violate it. By not being involved in the needs of survival, we therefore can free up our neshama to focus on our meaning, our destination. That's why, and we've said this here, it's not a throwaway little phrase that we've adopted as a nation, Shabbat Shalom. It's very deep. My grandfather taught me this, and very profound. Shabbos is the day where there's finally peace, like Shabbat Menucha, same thing, between the ongoing conflict between the needs of the body and the needs of the neshama. Shabbos, the needs of the body are set aside. They're done. They're prepared. They're not on our heads because of the 39 malachos. Therefore, we can have a little peace. We can have a little shalom, a little sense of peace of mind, peace of in our soul. So Shabbos is created first, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu invests it with sanctity. Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos. We preserve Shabbos. We do not violate its sanctity because we draw from it our purpose. And then what do? We're Mekadesh the Zmanim, which leads to the Moed. We are Mekadesh, we sanctify this time, right here and now, like Eitz Pri Osepri, that when we have a small ability, not a total ability, or we'd be in Gan Eden. We have a small ability to invest this moment and these mitzvahs with a bit of the taste of their future fruits. That's Zman. Till we get to the Moed. So those Kruvim standing on the Aron, which houses the Eitz HaChayim, and standing, it was embroidered into the Parochas, woven into the Parochas, which is the doorway to the Eitz HaChayim, and standing at the entrance to Gan Eden, making sure, those Kruvim are making sure we always have a way back to Gan Eden, preserving the Derech to the Eitz HaChayim. That's what they're doing for us. They're ensuring we always have a way back to the Eitz HaChayim. How is the way back? The way back to the Eitz HaChayim is, first of all, learning is through, obviously, Torah. Learning Torah and Shabbos gives us a way back to the Eitz HaChayim. Now, the faces on the Kruvim were childlike and innocent. Childlike and innocent faces. Purity. Which means to say that no matter where a person is in life, there is always preserved for that person, without any t'nai, a way back to the Torah, and a way back to for Shabbos. Notice something interesting. There are three things, precious gifts we had as a nation, but they were given al t'nai and they were taken away from us when we didn't deserve them. Such as, Beis HaMikdash was taken away when we didn't deserve it. Next, Eretz Yisrael was taken away because we didn't deserve it. And what else? Malchus Beis David. But notice this. Anybody can learn Torah. No t'nai. You could be the greatest sinner on earth, have done the most terrible thing 5 minutes ago, and you're entitled to learn Torah. It's Eitz HaChayim. The way is guarded. The Kruvim teach us with the childlike faces. Everyone can regain their youth-like innocence and find there's always a path back open to the Eitz HaChayim, to the Gan Eden. Also, Shabbos. It's no such thing that a person is such a low life they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. Shabbos is given without a t'nai, a source of Kedusha, and me'ein olam haba, a little Gan Eden, a little Mishkan, with the Eitz HaChayim standing in it, that we can draw from, an opportunity to feel right here the goal at the end, that the tree and the fruit are the same. That's also given without a t'nai. By the way, you know what else is given without a t'nai? No matter how low you are, you can't lose your status as a Kohen who worked in the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're saying here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a great gift. And the gift is that the Derech Eitz HaChayim is always available, preserved, being watched for us, giving us an opportunity to work backwards. Nobody is held back. Nobody is there's no person that's so unsalvageable that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make sure that there is a Derech Eitz HaChayim back there. So I want to end with one thought my grandfather said. It's very interesting. It says by Gan Eden in the pitch, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, something unusual. We're not used to thinking like this as religious Jews because there's so many limitations on every aspect of our behavior. But regarding the Gan Eden, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally told Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz HaGan Achol Tochal. You can eat from anything. Do we have anything like that in our religious life? You can indulge in it, and to the extent that you want, take anything. It's all yours. It was only in Perek Beis, he said, not from Eitz Hadas. But in Perek Aleph, Mikol Eitz Hagan, Machol Tochol, no Isurim, no restrictions, no limitations. We don't have anything like that, we think. But it's not true we do. There's one thing. The Gemara tells us, La'olam yilmod adam kol masha libo chafetz bo. It's a rule. A person should learn anything, whatever, their heart desires. There's no rules, notice, in Lima Torah of what you have to learn. There's no place where it says you have to learn 5 psukim in Chumash, and 3 in Navi, and 2 in Ksuvim, or whatever, and then you have to learn 1 daf Gemara, and it's 6 Mishnayos, and 3 Halachos. There's no such thing. There is no set determined by all of Chazal, through all of the ages, nobody ever set rules for what you have to learn. Yeah, they recommend Shnayim Mikra Becha Targum, you know, fine. But there's no rules. If you like Diktuk, learn Arachaya, you know, learn Hersh all day, learn Eben Ezra all day, rather. You like Halacha, you can learn, go learn the Torah Tzmimi, it brings down all the Halachas. You like Gematrias, learn the Baal Turim all day. You like history, learn about, you know, Jewish history, whatever you like. You like mysticism, learn more Arachaya, learn Ramban. Whatever you like, that's what you're allowed to like. You pick a derech, that's what you learn. That gives us, that's a taste of Gan Eden. The Eitz HaChaim of Torah reminds us of the Eitz HaChaim of Gan Eden. It's where you can indulge to your particular desire, your personality, what speaks to you, what builds you, what gives you a taste of the future, of the meaning, of the purpose, of the destination, what you respond to. That's how you approach Torah. And that's why there's so many different people, so many different drachim, so many different chedushim. You pick the ones you like, and you find the people that speak the way you know, the things you like to hear, and that's it, and that's how it's supposed to be. So we just hope that in the upcoming Moed of Pesach, we're zochot to invest this time onward with the kedusha of the upcoming Moed of Pesach, not to lose track of it. All right, everyone, I wish you a good week.